Our gospel lesson this morning comes from the first chapter of Luke's gospel, the 46th through the 55th verse. This is a lectionary reading for this, the fourth Sunday of Advent. And as I read these ancient words, allow them to speak something new to you as we gather together at this point on our faith journey. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever." Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Friends, I believe that if you took a poll with a sample of 1,000 churchgoers, now I know you're tired of polls already, but that's okay, just bear with me. I believe if you took a poll of 1,000 churchgoers, of most of us, and you asked us to summarize the ethos of the New Testament in one word, you would hear one particular word offered time and time again. It would be the number one response in this poll. Do you know what word that would be? Stop. Don't say it. Don't say it. Just think about it. A word that could summarize the spirit of the New Testament. One word. Stop. Don't say it. Can't be a name. Cannot be a name. Can't say, well, it's Jesus or God or something like that. No, that's not going to be it. It is my belief that the word most often mentioned in such a poll would be, stop. The word would be, I told you, I didn't tell you, but that's what it would be. It would be love. And it's not that this word is so pervasive in the New Testament, it's not. But rather, it is the theme that many of us see running throughout its pages. And this is why. 1 John chapter 4, verse 8 reads, "God is love." God is love. Friends, four Sundays, four candles lit. Hope, peace, joy, love. Love, great. Look, today's the fourth Sunday of Advent, and that means today we light the candle. It symbolizes the love of God. And then we reflect on that meaning, the meaning of that love, as we prepare for the celebration of Christmas later in the week. Now, the celebration of Christmas is a celebration for us of incarnation, of Emmanuel. And this may seem like a pretty straightforward idea to you. You know, wonderful. God is love. That's great. Thank you. Light the candle. Move on. But it's a little bit more complicated, I think, than it first appears, because love is complicated. Love, as you know, is pretty complicated. It's not easy to define. You see, love, as we've talked about before, is one of those words that is used in so many different ways that it really doesn't mean anything. It's lost its meaning. It's like the word nice. Never use the word nice. It doesn't mean anything. Okay. Nice hair. Nice job. You know, nice day. Nice person. You know, nice, 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 nice. All sorts of things are nice. So what does the word nice mean? Well, who knows? No one knows what that means. What is that candle all about? Whichever one it is. That one right over there. Number four, the love candle. What is that all about? What's the definition of love? Who knows? But your list of things you love includes those dearest to you, as well as pizza for many of you, and your car, and whatever else that you love. Love is used so frequently that it's lost any real substantive meaning. We know that. So what? No big deal. You say, we don't care. We'll use it like that anyway. It is a big deal. It's a big deal because God is love. And if God is love, don't you think we better be more careful with the way we use that word? If it's a nature of God? Don't you think we better hold the word and concept closely in our hearts and use it only sparingly, selectively, and reluctantly? And if God is love, how can we ever use that word without trembling, without our voice quivering? When we hear the word love, shouldn't we? It sends shivers down our spines because it's intertwined with the very nature and essence of God. God is love. That's deep. So the question for us on this fourth and final Sunday of Advent should be, how are we going to save this holy and sacred idea and word from the trash heap of the ordinary? Well, I'm going to tell you how we're going to do it. We're going to save this word and this idea by reclaiming it. And not just by reclaiming it, but redefining it and then embodying it. So light the candle. Light the candle, the fourth candle. Go ahead. God is love. If we accept the statement that God is love, then it would seem to me that in order to understand love, we must first understand God, right? In essence, God's being defines love, not the other way around. The question then becomes, of course, how can we ever begin to understand God if we can't understand something like love? It gets very circular and a little bit confusing. Well, friends, it's very simple. Really, we begin with the one through whom our community, the church, believes it encountered God and thus encountered and defined love. Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 18. No one has ever seen God. It is God the Son who's close to the Father's heart who has made him known. Huh. The poet Christina Georgiana Rossetti expressed it this way. Love came down at Christmas. Love all lovely, love divine. Love was born at Christmas. Star and angels gave the sign. Friends, light the candle. Go ahead and light the fourth candle. To see God and to understand love, you don't have to engage in a complex and extended theological reflection. No, you just have to survey the dusty roads of first century Galilee, or the hillsides of Gerasa, or the city streets of Jerusalem, or maybe even a manger in Bethlehem. Read the scriptures, and there you will see the nature of God revealed and the love defined in the person and work of Jesus of Nazareth that we feel is love incarnate. Again, our friend John, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Friends, it is this life that revealed God and then thus defined love for us. Jesus healed the sick. He liberated the possessed. He cared for the unloved, enlightened those who walked in darkness, reached out to the dispossessed and alienated, forgave the religiously ostracized, raised the dead, and gave his life for others. If you want to know about love, you need to look no further. If you want to know about the nature of God, light the candle. The fourth candle. Now, I don't remember when I first read this story. I think it was in one of those books, the Chicken Soup for the Soul. You remember those books? They were everywhere for every sort of soul. I mean, they were all sorts of things. And I think this was the original, but I'm not sure because I can't find any reference for it. But so I may have made this up, but I don't know. I don't think so. It's too good. I think about this story frequently. It's a story about a young man named Mark. And Mark was a very quiet and a shy individual. And one day, Mark came home from school. And Mark decided that he was going to make Valentine's cards for everybody he knew, all his classmates, all his compatriots. And he told his mother this, and as soon as he told his mother his plan, her heart sank. Because Mark was an outsider to most other children. And every day as the kids got off the bus, the kids would laugh and scream and talk and celebrate and as they walked up the street. But then Mark would follow, just by himself. So she was concerned about this, but she went along. He wanted to make a card for every single person he knew. So she went with him, she bought the supplies, and for 3 weeks, Mark made Valentine's for every single person in his class. 3 weeks, did nothing else. Then the day came around, and he carefully sorted them, put them in the bag, took them to school. He's very, very excited about this. Well, to help alleviate the pain she knew was coming, his mother made Mark's favorite cookies, and she decided she would greet him at the door with those cookies. And it broke her heart to think that he wouldn't receive many Valentines, maybe none at all. Well, about 3 o'clock, she heard the children coming down the street and looked out, and sure enough, saw the kids come and laugh and have a great time, and Mark following. He was empty-handed. So when he entered the house, she could hardly hold back tears. And she, how about a cookie, sport? How about a cookie? Walked right by her, didn't say a word. And all he said was, not a one. Not a one. She was about to just crumble. But then he said something that just changed everything. Changed her worldview. Changed the way that she defined love. He said this, I didn't forget a one. Not a one. Light the candle, folks. 1 John 4:12. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is perfected in us. 2 weeks ago, our young disciple Sunday school class, fourth and fifth graders, they shopped and purchased over $3,200, maybe more than that, of toys. And then, instead of taking them home and having a good time, they gave them away. Light the candle. Over the past few weeks, it's my understanding, our middle school youth group visited with some of the first responders in our community, offered them tokens of our love. Light the candle. Light the candle. The senior high youth group raised money and then partnered with families in need to make this Christmas season a bit more hopeful. Light the candle, the fourth candle. A week ago, one of our small groups went and did yard work for a family in our church who's been struggling with health concerns. Light the candle. Last week, our YAMS group, our young adults in ministry, went Christmas caroling with the kids from our Great Minds program, our after-school program. And they caroled for some of our brothers and sisters who have a tough time getting out of the house. Light the candle. There was a Christmas tree in our narthex that stood there for weeks, and it was a tree symbolizing the love of this community for our brothers and sisters who are served by the Ark of Wake County. Light the candle. The love lights on this Christmas tree and the tree in the fellowship hall were purchased by you, and all the money raised was used for outreach in our community and in our world. Light the candle. Many of you took and filled Salvation Army Christmas stockings, light the candle. In recent days, you have given generously to Imagine No Malaria and Stop Hunger Now, light the candle. Through your generosity, each Christmas Eve, you give to what's called the Pastor's Discretionary Fund. And then over the course of the following year, thousands of dollars, thousands are dispersed by this church to do good. Light the candle. And that's just stuff over the last 3 weeks. Friends, today's the fourth Sunday of Advent. Today we celebrate love. The love of God that was poured into this world through Jesus of Nazareth and then subsequently embodied in his followers, the church, in us. And it doesn't have to be very complicated. It doesn't have to be complicated at all. And I'll share one other story with you. Again, I have no idea the source, but let me share it with you. There was a little boy. And this little boy decided in his brain that he was going to find God. He was going to go find God out in the world. He didn't know where God lived, but he figured God lived a long way away from where he lived. So he packed a suitcase. And in that suitcase, he put Twinkies and root beer. And he set off. He hadn't gone far at all, maybe just a couple blocks, to a park across the street from his house. And there on a bench sat an elderly woman, just sitting there. And she had some bread, and she's feeding the birds there, just sitting there quietly. And so he stopped, and he went over and sat down next to her. And they just sat there for a few minutes. And then he opened his suitcase and got out a root beer and started to drink it. And then as he was taking it to his lips, he spotted her, just sitting there, and he looked at her and said, she looks kind of hungry. So he went back to his suitcase and he got out a Twinkie. And he handed her his Twinkie, and when she nodded and took the Twinkie, and then a big smile appeared on her face. And he just loved that. He loved that. She didn't say anything, just nodded. And so they ate Twinkies there. And then he thought, she looks a little thirsty. So then he got another root beer, handed a root beer, same thing, big smile. And he was so impressed by this, he just kept staring at her. And they sat there all afternoon. They never said a word to each other, not one word. And it began to grow dark, and he realized he better get home. And so he started to leave, and he stopped. And he turned around, and he rushed back to this woman, and he gave her a big hug. And then just smile just beamed from her. And so he headed on home. When the young boy returned home, his mother just was surprised by the look of joy in his eyes, and she asked him, what did you do today, son, that made you so happy? And he replied with these words, I had lunch with God. And before his mother could respond, he added these words, and you know what? She's got a beautiful smile. And then on the other side of town, an elderly woman returned home radiant with joy. And her son was stunned by the look of peace in her eyes. He hadn't seen that recently. And he said, Mother, what did you do today that made you so happy? And she replied, I ate Twinkies in the park with God. And before her son could say anything, she said this, you know, he's much younger than I anticipated. A long time ago, a young woman put it this way. She said, my soul magnifies the Lord. Friends, God is love. So light the candle.